Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy one, guide us by the Spirit of truth to hear the word of life you speak, and to give all glory, honor, and praise to your threefold name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. On Trinity Sunday, we honor God as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Today's reading from the Hebrew Bible speaks of God creating through wisdom personified. While wisdom is often associated with the Holy Spirit, this passage served as the basis for John's description of God creating through the Word. It also gives us an image of Christ's Sophia, the feminine wisdom, to hold alongside the image of Christ's Logos, the masculine word. A reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, 1 through 4, and 22 through 31. Listen for God's word and wisdom. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroad, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When God had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his commands. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master worker, and I was daily in delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race." So ends the reading. Our gospel reading comes again from Jesus' farewell discourse to the disciples in the fourth gospel. In this passage, Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will come to the disciples to sustain them after his departure. From the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Listen again for the word and wisdom of God. "I still have many things to say to you, but I cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God.
So, today is Trinity Sunday. Show of hands, who's excited? Oh, we got one. Two. This is a day that one preacher I know of has described as probably the day when God laughs the most as we try once again to explain one in three. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as our baptism liturgy puts it, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. According to our faith, not three gods, but one God in three persons. What? Well, theology, what we talk about when we talk about God, Theology is necessary. It seems that we human creatures need words to make sense of things. Words are what we have. But listen to theologian Friedrich Buechner, who said, "Theology is the study of God and God's ways. For all we know, dung beetles may study humanity and our ways and call it humanology. If so, we would probably be more touched and amused than irritated. One hopes God feels likewise." And then there's theologian and food writer, a great combination, Robert Farrar Capon, who once described our human attempt to explain the Trinity as that of an oyster trying to describe a ballerina. We just don't have the words, the ability, the intellectual capacity to describe something so beautiful, so wondrous as the very nature of God. But we do our best. So it's all by way of saying that today, however, I'm not going to even try to explain the Trinity. Instead, I'd like to focus on our text from Proverbs and the figure of wisdom woman who, though she is not a member or a person, as we say, of the divine Trinity, she does, in the words of Kathleen O'Connor, she does represent another way to look at God, another metaphor to speak of the beauty, power, and attraction that God holds out to human beings. Now, the book of Proverbs is a collection of, well, proverbs, pithy little sayings, kind of like Hebrew haikus, easy to memorize and therefore easy to learn, to take to heart. Now, who knows this proverb? God helps those who help themselves. That's a proverb, though it's from Ben Franklin, not the Bible. Anyway, the biblical book of Proverbs, allegedly the work of King Solomon, it's wisdom literature. And it may be a more accessible, kind of user-friendly example of that than Job or the Song of Songs. The first chapters of the book, though, are more poetry than proverb. And the very first verses serve as an introduction. It explains that the book is for learning about wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for gaining instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity, to teach shrewdness to the simple, knowledge and prudence to the young. Let the wise also hear and gain in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear of the Lord. Awe and profound reverence, that is, not being scared, but acknowledging really that God is God and we are not. The book of Proverbs is both poetic and practical, full of down-to-earth advice for daily living. Things like how to avoid marital fights and what to tell your kids about sex and about God, how to manage your finances, things like that. Things like better a dry crust with peace than a house full of feasting with strife. Or grandchildren are the crown of their elders and the glory of children is their parents. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up the bones. Good, sensible, day-to-day stuff. But as I said, there's poetry here too. And the poetic through line of the book is embodied in the striking figure of wisdom woman. Now think for a moment about wisdom. What is it? Who has it? In your own life, is there someone that you turn to for wise advice? A parent, a good friend, a teacher, a therapist, a pastor? Think about the wisdom women, the wisdom men in your life. Then think of those folks about whom we say, oh, he's really smart, but he's got no common sense. Wisdom is connected to experience. It's not science, not abstract knowledge. It's less book smart than maybe street smarts, you could say. And so with wisdom in the Bible, personified here as a somewhat loud-mouthed woman who stands at a busy street corner and shouts to all and sundry, who yells in passages not in our reading, to you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all who live. O simple ones, learn prudence. Acquire intelligence, you who lack it. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, live with prudence, and I attain knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. I have good advice and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. She is quite unladylike, this wisdom woman. She has taken her stand at the intersection of Broadway and 96th Street during Friday rush hour, or in front of Whole Foods on Saturday morning. She claims her space, and she's not shy about trumpeting her own virtues. In the passage that Neil read, she offers a creation story that reminds us of both Genesis and the Gospel of John. From Genesis, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And from John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. And wisdom woman, the Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, from the beginning of the earth. It's no wonder that Christians saw this figure, wisdom incarnate, made flesh, as an image of Christ, God incarnate, or as an image of the Holy Spirit, the wind, breath, Spirit of God that swept over the waters, partnering with God in creating all that is. But how does she tell us about God? What does she teach us about God? Well, wisdom woman calls to us from that busy crossroad, from the middle, the midst of life. She isn't sequestered up on a remote mountaintop, hidden away in a cave. She isn't even tucked up in a church on Sunday morning. She calls to all of us, wise and foolish alike. She is where we are, at home, at school, on the subway platform, in the doctor's office, at work. She is where we are, and she teaches us that God is there too. Wisdom woman tells us a story of creation, a story of God establishing the Word with wisdom. She teaches us that the world isn't the result of some blind chance, nor is it the end product of some ancient conflict between warring forces. It's not the creation of a detached God or a puppet master God. The world, our world, was created by a good and wise and even orderly God, carving out and sculpting all creation, a universe filled with meaning and purpose and beauty. And just because we seem to work so hard to destroy that meaning and beauty, whether through our part in global warming or our love of violence, and though sometimes chaos breaks through no matter how hard we try, in illness, depression, the ravages of old age, we take heart, knowing that in a world that seems crazy and chaotic, we know better. We know that God created a world to rejoice in, a world of joyous purpose and hope. And we're reminded that seriousness of intent doesn't mean giving up delight. And so Wisdom Woman also tells us, perhaps most importantly, that the relationship between the creator and wisdom is, in the words of Walter Brueggemann, it's deep and endless joy, as together they rejoice in all creation, and especially, it seems, God knows why, in the human part. When God marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside God, Wisdom says, like a master worker. And I was daily God's delight, rejoicing before God, rejoicing in God's inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. Side by side with God, working together, collaborating in a relationship of deep and endless joy. Which brings us, after all, to the Trinity. For whatever else we can or cannot say about one God in three persons, we know that the relationship between those three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Creator, Christ, and Spirit, God and God's Word and God's Wisdom, in Greek, Theos, Logos, and Sophia, whatever names we use, we know that theirs is a relationship of deep and endless joy, a relationship that some have likened to a dance, which is an imperfect but as good an image as any, maybe, for the triune God, a relationship of flowing movement, delighted give and take. As Pascal, I think, wrote, we do not worship a stingy God who grudgingly gives gifts and grants forgiveness as a divine grump. Not at all. The triune God is a joyous, dancing God who pours out overflowing gifts to humanity with gladness. And we are invited to join the dance as a gracious, joyous God lives in community with God's self, so we are called. Called to, from the street corner by Wisdom Woman, to live in joyful community with God. Joyful community with one another. And if God is laughing at our earnest but vain attempts to describe God, I am as certain as anything that God laughs not with derision, but with playful, joyful delight. Can you hear? Wisdom is calling from the busy intersections of our lives, from the graveside and the jail cell, the classroom and the conference room, the superstore, the ER, the corner bar, even the church. Wisdom calls. She is God's delight. And she calls to all who live. She calls to each of you. to nurture your own wisdom, to learn from the wisdom of others, to rejoice in God's world and delight in God's people, to join in the rapturous dance of life. So shall we? To God alone be the glory. Amen.